WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. Regular listeners to Fresh Air know Lloyd Schwartz as our classical music critic. Lloyd is also a poet. His work has been published in several literary magazines, The New Republic, and the anthology The Best American Poetry, 1991. He also teaches in the creative writing department at the University of Massachusetts in Boston. Lloyd has a new book of poems, so we invited him to read from it and to talk with us about his writing. The book is called Goodnight, Gracie, as in Gracie Allen. Lloyd is going to read an excerpt of his poem House Hunting, which he wrote after buying his first house.
The experience of looking for a house was a lot more intense and complicated than I expected it to be. And there was a way that the people whose houses I was looking at were letting me into their lives, or really insisting that I get into their lives, that I know about their lives, more than the people who, you know, who were renting an apartment, say. And the poem is about three experiences that I actually had. And each section of the poem begins with the actual ad in the newspaper about that particular house. And this, I'm going to read the third section, the last section of the poem. So it begins with the newspaper ad for the house in question. Somerville, solid two-family in superior location, cedar-shingled beauty with spacious apartments and contemporary updating. Big sun deck and two-car garage. They're not speaking to me upstairs. My stepdaughter. We haven't spoken since the doll died last year. They even forgot my birthday. 73 today. Would you believe it? Cheers. Go on. Look around. I've got nothing to hide. It's oddly tasteful for this florid, garrulous grandpa. Low-slung, plastic-covered, blonde 50s sectionals, a couple of yellow brick planters, built to myself, not bad for an old man, eh? Fine-grained walnut paneling and sliding glass door cabinet suspended over the long oak kitchen counters. The master bedroom, once evidently two. I knocked down that wall with my own two hands. Looks unslept in. In the spare, rumpled den, an unmade daybed, a closet full of shirts, a few tiles missing in the shower. To tell you the truth, I lost interest when the doll died. That's why I'm selling. I used to fix up every little thing. Now I don't care. I could call my son and move in with him tonight. He keeps asking. Don't you believe me? Look, I'm picking up the phone. 25 years, and he's selling the house right out from under us. All my friends live on this street, my kids' friends. My husband had a restaurant around the corner, 3 blocks from here. It burned down 2 years ago. We still haven't collected the insurance. Now he's driving a cab. We'd buy the house ourselves if we had any money. Who thinks they'll ever have to move? There's so much stuff. We've still got all the kids' toys. At least we won't have to pay these heating bills. Winters, it's freezing in here. This year we were going to close off the living room on account of the cold. I feel sorry for anyone moving here. It's all his son's idea. If he died, my sister and me would get half the house. But if he sells it, he could leave all the money to his son. What can you do? You have to make the best. He drinks, did you notice? A certified alky, even before my mother died. Believe me, he was never the greatest husband in the world. We get so worried about him, alone down there. He's fallen 12 times, and he won't let us in, thinks we're spying on him. He just can't be trusted, changes his mind every 5 seconds. You know, at the last minute, he could decide not to sell? I'll be glad to see him taken care of, though. I just hope that son of his knows what kind of a bargain he's getting. Listen, is there any chance you could let us stay? We've been good tenants, fix things ourselves, always pay the rent on time. Of course, it would depend on how much you were planning to raise it. We could even squeeze in downstairs if you needed our place. Put in a daybed until my son leaves home. Make do. We've done it before. At least we could stay in our own neighborhood, our own house. It would be awful to have to move. Awful to move away.
That's Lloyd Schwartz reading from his new collection, Goodnight, Gracie. And, Lloyd, one of the things I really like about that poem is the sense of how you're looking for a house, but what you're getting initially is other people's lives and responsibility for them, responsibility you don't want.
That's right.
Did you buy this house?
I didn't. The poem is about the next to the last house I looked at, which was in Somerville, Mass., and I did end up buying a house very similar to it in... also in Somerville.
Were there people who you had to ask to move out?
No, there weren't. It was a two-family house, and the tenants were built in, and I didn't have to ask them to leave.
That's nice. Do you not like the form of confessional poetry, or is it more that you just don't want to get that personal in your own poems?
Well, that's a very good question. And no, I don't have a problem about getting personal in my own poems. And before I started writing the dramatic monologues, I was writing only about myself. And I got to think that was very boring. Why would anyone be interested in me personally? And that I could find issues in the lives of people that I knew or made up that were richer or more serious in some ways than that I could be more objective about than the same issues in my own life.
One of your poems that is autobiographical is called In the Jewish Cemetery in Queens. And it's about visiting your father's grave shortly after he died in a cemetery where many people from your extended family are buried. And a stone's throw from your uncle's grave are the gravestones of many of the people from the Yiddish Theatrical Alliance, including such luminaries as Menashe Skolnick. And you say, my family rubbing elbows with celebrities. Would you describe the sensation of discovering these graves from the Yiddish theater near the graves of your own family?
Yeah. Well, I knew that the Yiddish theater graves were there because I had visited that part of the cemetery even when I was a child. But when my father died, I was old enough to, I mean, which wasn't so long ago, I was old enough to know who a lot of those figures were. And some of the graves look like billboards with the names are printed in diagonals as if they were on a billboard in front of the Yiddish theater. And I found something really deeply poignant, really heartbreaking about that. And I kept thinking, you know, all the world's a stage, and here, even in a cemetery, the headliners are being, you know, or the actors are being presented as headliners on this other kind of stage, and as a frustrated actor myself, there was obviously it struck a very deep chord. And then coming at the time of my father's death, I think I was very vulnerable to feeling these things. It was a very moving experience.
The voice that you're hearing sounds familiar. It's probably because it's the voice of Lloyd Schwartz, who is Fresh Air's classical music critic. And he's also a poet, and he has a new collection of poems called Goodnight, Gracie. And we're going to talk more about his work after we take a short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Lloyd Schwartz. You know him as Fresh Air's music critic, and he also has a new collection of poems called Goodnight, Gracie. When you started to listen to classical music, when you were young. Did you find that you ever felt out of step because a lot of your friends listened to pop and rock and roll?
That was a kind of secret. I mean, I also listened to pop music and rock and roll, and I loved it, and I still do. I think my friends, even my close friends, probably weren't aware of how passionate I was about classical music. And then there were periods, I think in high school, for example, where I really stopped listening to classical music because I already felt out of step enough with my classmates. Back in college, I was really able to start listening very seriously to classical music again, and could actually talk about it because I met friends and teachers who were also serious about it. So it was okay then. It's a great relief.
Did you ever play an instrument or sing?
Well, when I was 5 years old, I studied the violin for a year. When I was five.
Was it one of these Suzuki things or something?
One
of these Suzuki things for...
Oh, no, it wasn't. I mean, this was the mid-1940s, so it was nothing nothing that advanced. It was, I went to I had a teacher at the Wurlitzer building in Manhattan, and we lived in Brooklyn, and my mother would take me on the subway. I had this little baby violin. I still have it. It's still in the basement at home. And I had a very serious European teacher named Mr. Blackman. And I didn't exactly love it, but I thought, even as a young child, it was something that that I did care about, that I took seriously. And after a year, my father had an accident. He fell in the snow on his way home from work. He slipped in the snow and broke his leg. And he was out of work for, I think it was something like 9 months. And we couldn't afford, we were lucky we had enough saved up to buy food. And we really couldn't afford music lessons. There weren't, free music lessons in the school. And I think by the time the family could afford to support my music lessons again, I was old enough not to want to start from scratch all over again, and I was already in love with listening to music.
What kind of connections do you see, if any, between your approach to writing music criticism and your poetic style?
I think about that a lot, and I'm not sure what the answers are. I think as a critic, I want to be very direct. I want to speak to a reader. And in fact, being on Fresh Air taught me a lot about speaking to an audience.
Oh, because you're literally speaking.
Because you're literally speaking. And it's so much like what I want to do on the page. And I want poems to speak also. I think finding these other voices and being able to write in other voices and being able to write dialogue, narrative and dialogue, is all very connected. The musicians that I admire most, not only singers, but including singers and violinists and pianists and string quartets, both contemporary musicians and musicians from the past who survive only on recordings, the ones that I admire most are the ones who seem to speak to me, who speak to their audience, who have a kind of speaking voice along with the singing voice. I hate singers who are just doing vocal exercises or pianists who are just playing difficult passages of music. I want music to mean something, and it's all connected. I can't quite sort it out, but I know that what I love about poetry is very connected to what I love about music, and if I can write about music and write poems that speak, then I'm really fulfilling something that I deeply want to do.
Lord, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us about a different side of your work, your poems. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure to talk to you, as always.
Lord Schwartz's new book of poems, Goodnight Gracie, is published by the University of Chicago Press. Lord is Fresh Air's classical music critic. This is Fresh Air.